Well, Heavenly Father, we've just prayed that your word is living light upon our darkened lives. We thank you so much, Lord, that even in this world where many reject you, where even our hearts, Father, aren't always turned towards you in praise and thanksgiving, Father, you are gracious and you've given us your word as living light to guide us through temptation and our sin toward the Lord Jesus. And so we pray this evening as we look at your word, we would find him appealing and we would be delighted to know him more and to seek him more. In Jesus' name, amen. Does it ever surprise you that from a small number of men and women believers in first century Israel, Christianity boomed? There was this man from Israel 2,000 years ago who never left his own country, but is the best known figure in all of history. Does it ever surprise you that the Bible is the best selling book of all time? We shouldn't be surprised. We have an answer. And the answer is a person. Not a human person, but the divine person of the Holy Spirit. He is the answer to why the church will never die, why other religions will never succeed. He is the answer to the continued growth and success of the church. Now, this evening is very much an introduction to the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's fair to say that we would have read things in our readings this evening, and I might say things that are hinting at great things that the Holy Spirit does. And we won't go into great detail here because we've got dedicated sermons over the next few weeks on those topics. But tonight we're going to focus on who he is. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what is at the very heart of the Holy Spirit, of him who is the Holy Spirit? So let's start with a question here. Oh, that's helpful. Can I just because then I can see what's coming next. Because I can't remember. So, marvellous. Let's start with this question. Who is he? Who is he? Let's have a look at what Jesus says of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel. So I'm going to read from John chapter 16. And if you want to turn back to that, it's on page 1084. 1084. John chapter 16, I'm going to read from verse 12. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says this: I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and is giving them comfortable words as he prepares for the cross and his resurrection and his ascension. And here he gives the disciples confidence that they will be able to keep going without him, because actually they won't be without him. Yes, God the Son will return to God the Father, but they will not be left on their own. God will continue to live with them and among them through the Holy Spirit. And as God the Holy Spirit, he will, in verse 13 there, guide them into all the truth. There is truth, absolute truth. What is the truth? Well, it's the truth about Jesus. Jesus had said to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would remind them all of what Jesus had said, so that they could be faithful witnesses. So this is back in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Chapter 14 and verse 25 and 26. Jesus said this: all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit will enable them to be clear and faithful eyewitnesses. But how? Who is the Holy Spirit that he could do that? I remember working in Parliament, and as many of you know, I used to work in Parliament for Sadiq Khan. And when I was there, my office was next door to Boris's office. Did you know this? And so I always remember people saying to me, or people seeing Boris on TV, and I'd hear people say things like, you know, he seems a bit bumbling, you know, he's putting that on. He's got to be putting that on, all that bumbling and all that mumbling that he used to do. It's an impression that he's doing. He wants to give off this image. He's just like that for TV. It's all of a show for the camera, they would say. It's not. That's just what he's like. It's a bit mean, I suppose, to boys, but it's true. He is just like that. He mumbles when he walks, and his hair is always disheveled. And I can say that because day in, day out, I saw him up close and personal. The Holy Spirit is the perfect eyewitness. Why? Because he is there and always has been there with the Father and the Son in perfect unity. The point is this: who can reveal the truth about the Son except the one who knows him personally and properly? Who is, so to speak, in the inner circle, privy to the thoughts and desires of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is there among the deity of God because he is God. At the communion service, or at some communion services, we say this. It's the Nicene Creed. It comes from the Nicene Creed. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. You notice there, the Holy Spirit is one who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. The Holy Spirit is one who deserves our honour and our worship as the divine God. And it blows our minds. At this point in the sermon, here's the preacher's temptation. The preacher's temptation is this: to use a really clever illustration to help us describe and understand this marvel. Three persons, one God. So I'd get me ice cubes, and I'd pour some water on the ice, and up comes some steam, and a bit drips, and I'd say, ah, oh, there's God. You know, ice, steam, water. No, that's not the Trinity. God is not, it doesn't show anything of the distinctiveness of the persons. It's heresy. It is heresy. Maybe. Or I could do this. Look at me. I'm Martin. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a son. That's the Trinity. No, that's heresy. God is not one who merely changes his role depending on the circumstance. We see that very clearly, don't we, in Jesus' baptism. If you want to remember this, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus' baptism. When Jesus has the Holy Spirit descending on him, God the Son, the Holy Spirit descends on God the Son, and the voice of God the Father speaks. Nothing, no illustration can do justice to the Trinity, because nothing is like him. God is one, yet three persons who relate to each other. Relate to each other and love each other perfectly. There is sending by the Father, there is obedient submission by the Son, there is indwelling by the Spirit. Nothing can describe God. Three separate identities, one substance. What do we do with that? We bow down and we worship our awesome God. Who is he? He is God, the God who is there with the Godhead, and he deserves worship and honour. But what does he do? Here's our second question this evening. What does he do? Well, what does Jesus say he will do? Well, we read in John's Gospel these words, John chapter 16, verse 13. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. We didn't have this read, but in Acts chapter 1, and verse 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples after he's been raised from the dead and before he ascends into heaven. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then finally, in our passage, our second reading this evening from 1 Corinthians, We see though in verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Take all those together. What do we see? It is the Holy Spirit who puts Jesus front and centre in the hearts and minds of believers. That's what he does. I went to the theatre last month, and I always find the people who operate the spotlight rather amazing. They have to be really on it. They have to sort of follow the actor round the stage, keeping up with them at all times. And sometimes the effect is striking, like when all the lights go off. All the other lights go off and it's just the spotlight. And even though that light is so powerful, it generates so much heat, it is focused on that one actor and it pushes everything into the background, everything else into the background. It's like Jesus is center stage. And the Holy Spirit is the spotlight operator. He's dedicated, he is committed, he has a role. And that role is to shine the spotlight on Jesus. Do you know, it's why Paul could rebuke the church in Corinth. I don't want to go off piste here, but you might remember that at the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul had to rebuke the church that was being divided over what leader to follow. Do you remember that? So some people were saying, I follow Paul. Some people, I follow Apollos. Some people, I follow Cephas. And Paul rebukes them. How did he know? How did he know to rebuke them? Well, it's simply this. If Jesus isn't centre stage, it's not of the Holy Spirit. The idea of celebrity preachers or celebrity church leaders is clearly not of the Holy Spirit. Because that is to push Jesus away from centre stage, and the Holy Spirit's focus is Jesus and shining the spotlight on him. Verse 3 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. I'll just go to it. So verse 3 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. Of course not. No way can anyone who tries to demote Jesus or lower his authority, as what was happening at the beginning of the letter, or anyone who says anything against Jesus, be doing so by the Holy Spirit. It's not what he does. He brings Jesus to the fore. We have so much to give thanks for. We wouldn't find Jesus precious. We, you and I, wouldn't find Jesus precious if it weren't for the fact of the Holy Spirit shining the light of Jesus in our hearts. Nor would anyone else. In church life, many people come to faith when they have been wonderfully coming to church and maybe doing a Christianity Explored course or something like that. But even then, we are to remember God graciously uses us in his mission of bringing people to a knowledge of the truth. But it is the Holy Spirit who finally does the work of illuminating Jesus in the hearts and minds of people. It's a great reminder, isn't it? To pray for people, your family, your friends who don't know Christ. So, what does he do? He shines the spotlight on Jesus. But why? Why does he do it? Why does the Holy Spirit put Jesus front and center? He does it to bring glory to Jesus. Let's have a look at these passages. Snippets from what we've read already. John chapter 16, verse 14. Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. But that's why people will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus is Lord, because it can't be done except by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember, Jesus said to his disciples that you will be my witnesses because the Holy Spirit will be with them. All that the Holy Spirit does is to point so that Jesus will get the glory. That's his role. That's his delight. And it is seen again and again in the Godhead. As we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work, we see that in the great love of God, each person of the Trinity brings honor and glory to one another, so that God in his fullness is fully glorified and worshipped. Jesus said in John chapter 17. Let me turn to it. John chapter 17 and verse 1. He's praying to his Father in heaven, and he prays this prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You ever heard the phrase mutual appreciation society? Church could be like that sometimes, can't it? And other places, of course. You look nice. Oh, no, you look nice. Nice hair. Oh, you've got lovely hair. Lovely clothes. Oh, haven't you got such great fashion sense? It's all very nice and pleasant. You know, this is more than a mutual appreciation club. It's a sort of tunnel vision focus of wanting to bring ultimate honour and glory to one another. That's why the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight on Jesus. To bring glory to the Saviour, who himself brings glory to the Father. And it's so important for us to see this, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know Jesus. The disciples wouldn't have been given what they needed to remember. So we wouldn't be calling Jesus Lord, and the church wouldn't have survived. Isn't that great that this is his priority? So, yeah, what have we got here? So, what does this all mean for us? Especially as we plan to spend a number of weeks now looking at the Holy Spirit and what he does, can I suggest three things? Confidence in Scripture. It means for us confidence in Scripture. See, if the Holy Spirit, who inspired Scripture, has a focus on shining the spotlight on Jesus and bringing him glory, it means that we can have great confidence in the point of Scripture, even when our hearts are too hard to fully understand it. Because that happens, doesn't it? Plenty of passages where we might struggle to understand it or appreciate it or truly want to accept it. But we can have complete assurance that the point of Scripture is to shine the spotlight on Jesus. It is good and right. We're reminded tonight to have great confidence that it is inspired by him who seeks the glory of Jesus. Secondly, and here's where your sheets are wrong, I'm afraid, because I wrote that too quickly. Expect his priority to be our priority. We should expect this priority of the Holy Spirit, shining the spotlight and bringing glory to Jesus, to be more and more our priority. On one level, we might want to say, I don't do that very well, or how could we? How could we have the same heart as the Holy Spirit? But at the same time, we can rejoice and delight in Jesus' promise that we know to be good and faithful, that the Holy Spirit will live within us and make us more like Jesus. And so our priority through maturity of faith becomes more in tune with that of the Holy Spirit. So when we do feel the pull of the world, the pull of the world versus the Word, rejoice that is his priority at war with what is wrong. And pray that we will go with the priority of the Holy Spirit. Third, have confidence in what God is doing. Through his Holy Spirit, he is making Jesus known. He's bringing him glory. And no one and nothing can stop him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these passages that help us to see something of the wonder of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he is God who would live within us, and help us to know more about Jesus as he shines the spotlight on our Saviour, on who he is and what he's done. And thank you that he does that because he wants to see Jesus glorified. And acknowledged as Lord and Saviour in our world. And so, Father, as we take time over these next few weeks to look more at what he does and how he does it, please will you help us to keep these things in mind, that your Holy Spirit is to be worshipped and honoured and glorified, and that he does all that he does so that Jesus will get glory and honour. And so we thank you for him. Amen.